four things that could have happened in Yu Yu Hakusho, and one that couldn't. An Omake Collection. Written by Seer. Read by Opal Song. One, Kuwabara the Scientist.
Hey guys, you gotta see this! My first scientific breakthrough!
Kuwabara raced into the room, holding a beaker of sloshing liquid. Yusuke and the others were sitting around a university lounge that they had taken over for themselves. Only Kuwabara, Keiko, and Kurama were students, but Genkai's temple was too remote for all of them to meet there during the week. Besides, none of the university's staff or students had the courage to kick them out. Kuwabara was wearing a lab coat that had once been white, but was now covered in stains and scorch marks. It went a long way in making Kuwabara look like a legitimate scientist. Of course, Yusuke knew for a fact that the stains were from the time Kuwabara had tried to eat a cheeseburger and play video games at the same time, and the scorch marks were from Hiei. Kuwabara proudly held up the beaker.
I've invented a chemical! I broke over 200 vials and 36 Bunsen burners to make this baby!
Kuwabara, Botan said, concerned. That kind of equipment isn't cheap. How can you afford that kind of, scientific innovation?
Yukina, Kuwabara answered dreamily. Whenever I run out of money, she makes me a tear gem.
You make Yukina cry?
Hiei asked dangerously, his left hand moving to unbind the Dragon of the Darkness flame.
No! Kuwabara shouted. I would never make Yukina cry. She's my forever love bunny!
Hiei didn't look convinced.
Then how does she make you tear gems?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. I was showing Yukina the internet and all the cat videos of Eikichi I've posted. One thing led to another, and she started crying!
Kuwabara saw Hiei's look and blanched.
Not crying, but her eyes started watering. From the cuteness!
Kurama put a calming hand on Hiei's shoulder. I've seen Kuwabara's Eikichi videos. They are very cute. Hiei stopped unbinding the dragon, and Kuwabara sighed in relief.
What I fail to see, Kurama continued, is how such destruction is warranted at all.
It's my scientific method, Kuwabara announced proudly,
the danger from a moment ago apparently forgotten.
I take a chemical and I punch it until I create a new one.
This statement was met with a roomful of disbelieving stares.
And it works! Kuwabara held up the beaker again. A brand new chemical! I call it green.
Kuwabara, Botan pointed out gently, that's blue.
Well, it doesn't work every time.
Two, Yusuke's haircut. Yusuke sat impatiently on a chair in the bathroom of his mom's apartment as Kurama examined his impressive mane of hair, scissors in one hand. The full consequences of Yusuke's fight with Sensui and his Mazoku heritage hadn't sunk in yet. But one thing was clear. The hair had to go. At least, it was clear to Yusuke. Kurama seemed to have different ideas.
What kind of haircut would you like? Kurama asked.
Just cut it like it was, Yusuke said, already bored.
Don't worry, Kurama said. I know exactly what to do.
Yusuke closed his eyes and drummed his fingers on the bottom of his chair, trying not to squirm. Squirming was probably a bad idea when someone was going to be holding sharp scissors next to your face. After barely a few minutes,
Kurama announced he was finished. Yusuke gave a cursory thanks and was about to stand up when he caught sight of himself in the mirror. Long, flowing locks of thick black hair still flowed past his shoulders and down his back, almost down to the floor.
"Kurama," Yusuke growled, "this isn't a haircut. It's barely a trim."
"I tidied the ends for you," Kurama said proudly. "I thought you might want to take advantage of this opportunity."
"Well, I don't."
"This is a rare chance to try out any haircut you want," Kurama pointed out. "Anyone else would have to grow their hair out for years to get hair like this."
"What I want is my old hairstyle back," Yusuke said. "Do it short this time."
Kurama sighed. "All right, you're the boss."
"Damn straight I am," Yusuke muttered, and closed his eyes again.
This time, he could sense Kurama standing in front of him, and the scissors were cutting close to his face.
"Done,"
Kurama announced. Yusuke opened his eyes and looked in the mirror.
"Kurama," Yusuke was not happy. "This is a mullet. A shaggy mullet."
Kurama shrugged. "I thought we could try a happy medium between short and long."
"Do I look happy?"
"No, you look more murderous. You don't like it?"
"I don't like looking like a fashion reject, no."
"Something stylish. I'm on it."
"Not stylish, Kurama. Cut it like it was."
"I'm on it," Kurama repeated cheerfully.
After a few more minutes of cutting, including finally losing the bottom 3 feet of hair from the back, Kurama asked Yusuke to hand him the hair gel.
Assuming Kurama was going to slick it back like how Yusuke usually styled it, he handed the gel over right away. Yusuke thought Kurama was finally finished, for real this time. Then he saw himself. For one thing, the hair was still too long. For another, it was hideous. Kurama had slicked the sides of Yusuke's hair straight up, but the front straight down over his eyes.
"What do you think?"
Kurama asked. "I can't remember what this style is called, but it was popularized by a band called Flock of Seagulls."
"No!" Yusuke shouted.
Kurama contemplated, oblivious or ignoring the homicidal aura Yusuke was giving off. "I admit, it's a bit passé. How about something more contemporary?" Without touching the scissors, Kurama used a bit more gel to smooth the hair down, though it still hung over Yusuke's face.
"I am literally going to kill you," Yusuke warned.
"This one's very modern," Kurama said. "I believe it's called the emo swoop."
"Cut it like it was."
Kurama sighed again, seemingly even more put upon, picking up the scissors one more time. "I understand. Nothing new, nothing unfamiliar. Really, Yusuke, where's your sense of adventure?" This time, when Kurama finished, Yusuke didn't say anything at all, as much as he started screaming incoherently. Kurama had given him a pompadour like Kuwabara's.
"See? Nothing you haven't seen a million times,"
Kurama said. Yusuke grabbed the scissors from Kurama and started hacking at his hair like it, or he, was a rabid animal. In the end, Kurama had to smooth out the disaster by cutting it all short, just like how Yusuke had wanted it all along. Three, Spirit World Records. Even after working for Koenma for more years than most humans on Earth had been alive, George still expected to be greeted with "good morning" when he arrived for a day's work. He also expected that Koenma wouldn't eat his lunch from the break room if he put his name on it. Both expectations were always met with very similar outcomes.
"What took you so long, Ogre?"
Koenma snapped.
"Where's my tape?"
"Right here." George put the tape straight into the VCR player. The spirit world had all the best technology. Koenma's newest pet project was running a record label called Spirit World Records. Seeing as Koenma's regular day job was ruler of the entire spirit world, distribution was guaranteed to be wide.
The video that appeared on the large screen in front of Koenma's desk showed the latest, and only, band signed to Spirit World Records, the Spirit Detectives. Koenma watched the tape intently, sucking noisily on his soother as if in deep concentration.
Koenma? George said. Is something wrong?
I don't like the band's lineup, Koenma said.
What's wrong with it, sir? George asked.
In addition to Keiko as their manager and Shizuru as head of security, the Spirit Detectives had 6 members. Yusuke was the lead singer. He had a tendency to break microphones. Kurama played the face-melting guitar solos. Apparently these were popular in the human world. Hiei played bass. Fans were already divided on if his plank-of-wood approach to live performances was endearing or not. Yukina was on rhythm guitar and backup vocals. She already had her own fan club, of which Kuwabara was the president. Botan played drums. Her ability to play drums while flying side saddle in midair was especially impressive. That just left...
Kuwabara, Koenma said seriously. He's ruining the whole aesthetic. What do you think when you look at him, ogre?
George hedged as much as he could. He looks enthusiastic, sir.
Fire him.
We can't fire him, George said. He writes most of the songs.
Is that why he's mouthing the words?
Kuwabara was silently singing along, his eyes closed, grooving to the music with his entire body. He was, put as simply as possible, way too into it. Especially for a tambourine player. Koenma and George watched the video in silence for a few more minutes.
Ogre? Koenma asked. How long is Kuwabara's tambourine solo going to last?
George consulted the notes. 11 minutes.
4. Quadclops. It was a Tuesday afternoon, and Yusuke, Kurama, and Kuwabara were the only 3 in their university lounge. They were killing time until Keiko got out of class in an hour or so, and they could all make the trek to Genkai's temple together. Hiei was also supposed to meet up with them at some point. Kuwabara was working on writing out the chemical formula for green while listening to a tape of the Spirit Detectives on his Walkman. Every once in a while, Yusuke and Kurama had to throw something heavy at his head whenever he started singing along. For their own part, Kurama and Yusuke were passing the time by playing cards. They were stuck playing Go Fish because it was the only game Yusuke knew.
Do you have a 5? Yusuke asked.
Go Fish. Yusuke groaned and picked up a card from the center pile. This was his 6th Go Fish in a row, and his hand was getting distressingly full.
Do you think Hiei ever cheats at cards? Yusuke asked musingly. With his Jagan Eye, I mean.
The Jagan Eye gives Hiei a psychic advantage. It doesn't have X-ray vision. Kurama said. Do you have a 7?
Yusuke passed Kurama the 7 of hearts from his hand. I still think it's weird Hiei's got 3 eyes. That makes him, what? A triclops?
Actually, he's a quadclops. Do you have an ace?
Yusuke paused, then passed Kurama the ace of diamonds from his hand. A what? He's got 4 eyes? You mean when he turns green? Because then he's got way more than 4 eyes.
No, I mean he's got 4 all the time. 2 normal ones, 1 on his forehead, and 1...
Kurama's eyes made a significant glance downwards.
Do you have a jack?
Go Fish, said Yusuke automatically, then added, you mean he's...
Yusuke paused, blushing.
Cockeyed?
We probably shouldn't talk about this anymore, Kurama said. It's a very personal topic, and Hiei is our friend. It's your turn, by the way.
We are going to talk about this, Yusuke exclaimed. How does he... Is it like crying?
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't know, Kurama said. Hiei's eyeballs certainly are unique.
Does it have any special powers?
Yusuke felt a tug of a smile. Actually, from what I understand,
The eye suffers from astigmatism. Do you have a 5?
Yusuke handed Kurama the 5 of spades without actually looking at his hand. His shoulders were starting to shake.
Kurama, he asked, how do you know all this?
We did work together before the incident with the Mirror of Forlorn Hope, Kurama said. Are you asking me if I've ever seen Hiei's eye erection?
I bet you have, haven't you? Yusuke tried hard not to laugh.
Kurama just smiled. Do you have a 10?
Yusuke passed Kurama the 10 of clubs. His hand was suddenly much smaller than it had been a minute ago. He was about to ask Kurama more questions when someone walked into the room. It was too early to be Keiko. It had to be...
Don't laugh, Yusuke thought.
I wouldn't mention the quadclops thing, Kurama whispered as Hiei approached their table. Unless you want him to give you the dink eye.
Damn you, Kurama!
So, Kurama said brightly, addressing Hiei, Yusuke and I were just talking. What's the darkest place you've ever seen?
Hiei crossed his arms. I've seen realms in the demon world that have never seen the light of any sun.
He stopped, staring angrily at Yusuke and Kurama.
What's so funny?
Five. Mace Castle. Yusuke, Kuwabara, Hiei, and Kurama had come to Mace Castle to find a certain whistle, the only way to stop the Makai insects that threatened to spread chaos across the entire human world. The first challenge had begun the second they stepped into the gate of the castle. More of a corridor than an actual gate, the stone ceiling had descended steadily, and now all four stood braced in the gate, trapped, as they needed all their strength to hold up the roof and keep themselves from being crushed.
Do you like my gate of betrayal?
The lord of Mace Castle, Mace Hughes, stood just outside the gate, a wide grin on his face.
You want us to betray each other? Yusuke asked, outraged.
What? No, why does everyone think that? It's called the gate of betrayal because no one can betray.
Mace paused, reaching into his jacket pocket. Yusuke wished he could use his spirit gun, but he needed both hands to hold up the ceiling.
Was this man reaching for a weapon? How wonderful my daughter Alicia is!
Hughes finished. The thing he'd reached into his pocket for was a photograph of a little girl with pigtails, about 4 years old. She was holding a stuffed bear and smiling brightly. Hughes was still outside the gate, but he had crouched down and thrust the picture right up to their faces.
Isn't she the most adorable thing you've ever seen? Admit it, no one can deny my Alicia in the Gate of Betrayal.
Aww, said Kuwabara right away. She's really cute.
Damn that Kuwabara. Yusuke should have seen this coming. Kuwabara might look like a punk, but he couldn't resist kittens. Or little kids, apparently.
Yes, said Mace Hughes. I knew you would see it right away.
And then Kuwabara vanished in a flash of light and a soft pop. The force of the ceiling crushing down on them doubled without Kuwabara there to help them hold it up. But where did he go? Was he in even bigger trouble now?
Whoa, that was weird.
Kuwabara?
Kuwabara was standing safely next to Mace Hughes, looking as confused as Yusuke felt.
You're gonna kill me now?
Kuwabara asked.
Of course not! I would never hurt anyone who sees how special my Alicia is,
Mace said. You can keep this one. He handed Kuwabara the picture of Alicia with a teddy bear and pulled out 6 more photos from another pocket. Kurama, meanwhile, got that glint in his eye.
Mr. Mace, he said with a smile, your daughter is the most sweet, intelligent child I've ever seen.
With a flash and a pop, Kurama disappeared too, reappearing next to Kuwabara. Yusuke gasped as the weight of the roof pushed him and Hiei to their knees. Was it really that easy? Yusuke swallowed his pride. It was better than being crushed to death.
Yeah, she's great, he said. Another pop, and Yusuke was out of the gate. All his muscles sighed in relief. That only left...
Oh no...
Hiei was all alone, bracing the entire weight of the gate of betrayal. Mace Hughes was holding up all 6 photographs in front of Hiei, but he turned his face away, refusing to look at them. "You can't resist the gate of betrayal," Hughes said. "Tell me how cute my Alicia is."
"I won't say it," Hiei said through gritted teeth.
"Damn it, Hiei," Yusuke shouted. "Just say she's cute."
"Never."
And with that, Hiei passed out. The gate crashed down. Hiei woke up slowly. Instead of in a dungeon somewhere, he found himself in what looked like a hospital. Through the corner of his eye, he saw movement by the foot of the bed. Hiei bolted up, instinctively reaching for his sword. Of course his sword wasn't there, but a squeak froze him in his tracks. The movement, and the sound, came from a child. Hiei recognized her instantly as Alicia Hughes. Hiei wanted to spit. He would never admit a mortal child was cute. But maybe she could be useful to him.
"Where are the others?" he asked her sharply.
"They broke Daddy's whistle," Alicia answered. "But he said it was okay, so now they're downstairs, waiting for you to get better."
She was holding both hands behind her back and avoiding eye contact, like she was hiding something from him.
"And what are you doing here? What are you trying to hide from me?"
Shyly, Alicia brought her hands out from behind her back. She was holding a box of band-aids. They had pictures of little flowers and bumblebees on them.
"Your friends are worried about you, so I wanted to help. These are my special band-aids. They always make me feel better."
Hiei just stared. He felt a strange warmth coming from inside, but he chalked it up to being a fire demon.
"Can I give you one?" Alicia asked, her courage growing.
"Fine."
"What am I saying?" Hiei thought. But he stayed silent and let Alicia put a flower and bumblebee band-aid on his arm. Then she put one on his other arm. She put one on his knee, and another on his shoulder, and one on his cheek. She kept giving Hiei band-aids until the box was empty, and Hiei made no objections. No one can resist the gate of betrayal. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can leave feedback. Thanks for listening!
She's my forever...
It's the forever love bunny! I can't do it! You're the worst person ever. And by worst, I obviously mean best.
Then you have an audience.
No! Now it'll be even worse. You know what I just realized? We begin and end with cuteness.
I take a chemical and I punch it into...
I can't do it!
For another, it was hideous.
This time, when Kurama finished, Yusuke didn't say anything at all, as much as he started...
No! It's still the worst!
Quim is the worst boss ever. Ogre.
Sorry.
I read the rest of that line. I was like, ah!
4. Quadclops.
No! I can't even get past the title on this one. Oh! This is the worst. A million eyeball dick jokes. Well, why did you make it all in continuity?
Actually,
no, I know where this is going. And it's the worst. And I did it to myself.
You mean he's... Yusuke paused, blushing. Caca.
I can't do it.
Actually, from what I understand, the eyes suffer.
No. I refuse.
No one.
No, I failed at the last hurdle.
You're doing so well.
I kind of hate you. That was really good.